Okay, we're going to roll Tanakh tonight. It's since this week's Haftorah. This week, it's all right. Yeah, it's nice that people can see Machlis Orachim. Anyway, so in this week we have a Haftorah of the story of Shimshon, and there's a very fascinating story that, you know, bears thinking about in terms of parenting. I know that a lot of people think about what's the best way to parent, et cetera, et cetera. There's really, in my opinion, one way to parent well. My kids might disagree, but this is the story. It says that first, Manoach is told that Shimshon, I have a teacher, somebody here who taught the Shoftim, so I'm a little nervous. But anyway, we have the story of Manoach, who is told that Shimshon is going to be a Nazir. Okay, Vayomerli, and he says, V'ata al tishta yayin v'sheicher v'al tochli kol tmei, gives him all the rules about being a Nazir, ki Nazir o'kim yiyah hanayim min ha-betim, because this is going to be a child who's going to be a Nazir from the time he is in utero, so the mother is not allowed to drink from the wine. But then the pasuk continues, and the story continues, and it tells us, V'ya'etar Manoach el Hashem, and a Manoach davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer bi Hashem, isha lo'kim asher shalachta. Yavana Odalena. This guy you sent me to tell me that this, that my child is going to be Nazir, send him again. V'yareinu, and let him teach me mana asel na'ar hayula. And let him tell me what I should do for this na'ar who hayulad, who will be born. Now it's a very strange request on a number of levels, because he was already told what to do. Your wife, she shouldn't drink wine, she shouldn't become tummy, it was a big three. Now obviously she's not going to shave while the kid's in utero, but she shouldn't do that while the child's in utero, because the child's a Nazir from the time he's in the womb. So what is he asking again for the Hilchos Nazir? And it's in the Torah, just open up the Chumash and you can know exactly what to do. And if you don't know that, so open up a Gemara, Torah Baal Peh, right? Or, you know, ask around, ask your local Orthodox rabbi and say, listen, my son's supposed to be a Nazir. I heard from a man of God. And I just like to know and review the laws of being a Nazir. But instead, he says to God, I send an Isha Lakim. Nazir Lakim, that I should find out. And then the response is that he says a very simple thing. He says to him, Nazir Elokim Yehanar, the child is going to be a Nazir. And then afterwards, after the tefillah comes, he says the following. He says, Mikol Asher Amarti Ala Isha. The second time he comes back, the man of God, he says, Mikol Asher Amarti Ala Isha Tishmor. Whatever I said to the woman, you should keep. Mikol Asher Yatsa Megepanayayin. Everything that comes from the wine of the grapes, Lo Tochel, don't eat. Kol Asher Tivu Su. Everything I commanded, Tishmor. Tishmor means what? If you're a Hebrew grammarian, you, male and female, we'll see in a moment, you should watch out. So, it's a very strange thing. Like, what was the repetition, like what was gained the second go around that we didn't know the first time? Oh yeah, keep the laws in his ears. Like, is this such a great chiddush that is going on? Okay. So what's happening? Sir Schwab is bothered by it. Sir Schwab answers in one of the most beautiful pieces of Chumash ever written, I believe. And when you see it, it's so striking as to what's really happening here that Manoach is struggling with. And this is really the struggle. I'm going to tell a story that happened in my own personal life. Then it'll help us articulate this story of Manoach. I remember when my child turned three, and I gave him a pair of tzitzis. I gave him his first pair of tzitzis. We put it on, and we were so excited, and I take the tzitzis, and, you know, I kept them out of the pants. I didn't put them inside. And I felt very strange for doing that. And I looked at myself, and I said, how do I wear my tzitzis? And I did a cheshbon and nefesh, and I said, how is it that I'm asking my child to wear his tzitzis out when my tzitzis are tucked in? I said, isn't that an inherent contradiction? Am I modeling the behavior that I want for my child? As very often, you know, I ask boys when they're dating process, you know, in terms of what they want in a wife, I said, think about what you want for your children. That's a great way of knowing what you really, really want. But there's a much deeper point here, and that is that if you want your child to do something and you yourself are not willing to do it, then how could you make those demands of your child. So Manoach is struggling. Manoach is struggling because Shimshon was told he's going to be a Nazir. So Manoach says, but wait, how am I supposed to raise a Nazir if I myself am not willing to engage in those behaviors that I'm demanding of my own child? It's a great conflict that every father has at every stage of their lives with their children. Do you make demands of your children that you are not willing to keep? And Manoach is struggling. He says, how can I raise the child? He says, call back the man of God. He wasn't asking the man of God to know what to do with his child. He was asking the man of God to know what he should do with himself. How is he supposed to raise a Nazir? Not what is the Nazir supposed to do. Of course the Nazir does. You can't give the Nazir wine. You can't give the Nazir to be, you know, to go near Tumas Mace. But what is he supposed to do? And the Malach responds to him, it's true. Even the father of the child has to act like a Nazir. You're not a Nazir, but you can't, in front of the child, drink wine, go into a cemetery. And that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, if you read the Pasuk carefully, it says, Mikol Asher Amarti Elisha, everything that I said to the woman, to the wife, that she should demand in her life when she's pregnant, Tishmor. What is the word Tishmor? You should keep. Who's the you here? Not the child. You, Manoach. You too should be careful in this. Kol Asher Tivisela, everything that I've commanded her in the past to your wife, that's Tishmor. Because there's no way, he writes from Schwab, where it's unbelievable language. She'ein be'efsharut lahadrich habanim b'derech acheres mimah shedorchem ha'avos. There's no other path to push your kids in than the path that is forged by the fathers. Ki habanim, because the children, mischanchim mimah sheroim eitzel ha'orim. Because the children go after what they see from their folks. V'im yom ha'adam was no lahachzit be'ezan ha'gatova. If you tell your child, listen, go learn, and then you flip on the TV, what do you expect from the child? Even if you go 101 times, tell your child, it's important, go and know it. If you want to raise a Nazir, the only advice is, you yourself have to act like a Nazir. The great problem, one of the great problems that, you know, certain schools have is the problem of Sunday school. Sunday school. I would say school that happens to be on Sunday. What's the major problem of Sunday school? There are two kinds of kids. If the parents are getting up and going to Minyan and going to their shul and learning for an hour in the morning, so the kids go to school, they go to Minyan, and they go to school. They don't have a problem. When the father rolls out of bed to wake the kid up, and the kid knows the father and mother are going right back to sleep because they're up late watching a chesnisht, whatever it is, then why would the kid want to go to school? What do you expect from the kid? The greatest exemplars in his life are the parents, and the parents are telling him to do one thing, and they're living a life something else. The only way one can parent properly, says Rav Schwab, is if they model the behavior they expect and demand of their own particular child. If you don't demand that behavior, if you don't live that life that you're asking of your child, it doesn't go anywhere. It's the simplest Muslim rule. Let's forget Rabbi Willick told an amazing story. There was a big debate I went to. I went to the Chassid class. You know, I went to hear from the Gadol. So there was a sex therapist and Rabbi Willick. They were giving us the lessons, you know, on how to teach over. The sex therapist was saying that it's very important that the father communicates with the child, you know, everything he needs to know in life. All the birds and the bees, everything that he should know. Rabbi Willick gets up and he says, I disagree. It's not the job of the father to teach those things. So what do you mean? He goes, you know, I learned about honesty. The father never once spoke about being an honest person. He goes, I was once in my house, in the kitchen. Now, in the olden days, you had the phone attached to a wire, so you couldn't go into a private place. And his father was doing some sort of deal. And the deal had a shady component to it. You know the story? The deal had a shady component to it. And when his father heard about the shady component about the deal, even though he stood to make, I think it was upwards of $100,000, which back in those days was a ton of money, he walked away from the deal. He says, that's how my kid learned about it. That goes, Rabbi Willis says, that's how I learned about being an honest person. I saw with my own eyes my father turn down a ton of money, and that was the greatest lesson in the world to me. He goes, how are you supposed to impart that lesson in Taras Mishpacha? That's not the way it goes. Right, that's the one area where it doesn't go like that. But he says, the way a parent can give any lesson over to a child is through modeling that behavior. It's an amazing story that I saw, Lawrence Kellman, you know, classic. I knew this was an easy topic to talk about, so I Googled role modeling parents Torah. You find tons of things. In the secular world, they say this as well. But the secular world is a little different spin. They say, why does role modeling work for parents more than telling what to do? Because kids' brains develop after their emotions. So the first thing they do is develop an emotional connection to a parent, and therefore, because they have an emotional connection to a parent, they want to emulate that behavior that they see in the parent. And that's because they want to feel close. You know, it reminds me just now as I'm thinking, there were two commercials when I was a kid that were like the big commercials. One, and they were contradictory. There was the Gatorade commercial. What was the Gatorade commercial? The whole premise was, I want to be like Mike. So they had Michael Jordan raining 40-foot jumpers and drinking Gatorade. So, the whole theory, the whole premise of that marketing strategy was that they knew that people emulate their heroes, they model their behaviors, and they kept showing Michael Jordan raining a jump shot and drinking a Gatorade. Oh, I want to be like Mike, so therefore I'm going to drink Gatorade as well. It was subtle, but the song in the background was, be like Mike, be like Mike, be like Mike. He, of course, he's a role model. We might not want him to be a role model, but for the Welt, for the world, they want to be like him, and therefore that was a role model, as opposed to Charles Barkley. I forget the context, but he had another commercial where he said, I am not a role model, you know. But it's not true. You could say whatever you want, but if people respect you for whatever reason, you naturally, people imitate the way you are. Imitation is the finest form of flattery. So Lawrence Kellman has an amazing story. He says, listen to this. He says, can you imagine? Parents spend $1,000 a year tuition. Oh, it's thousands, right? Thousands. People do. Some people spend double tuition, or maybe the other, you know, to two different schools. Anyway, so parents spend thousands of dollars a year in tuition to send their children to school. They teach calculus and chemistry. We're expected to teach them some semblance of ethics. What happens on Sunday? The parents take their kids to the amusement park, and they say that their kid's age, you know, the kid is not really 10, he's 9, he gets the under 12. So to save $5 on the admission fee, they destroy a $10,000 education. Because what do the kids see? All the kids see is my parents lie. So you want to, you know, sing the song, you know, V'dvar Shecher Tirchach, never tell a lie, you know. But you can sing it all you want, but if you're going to be out in the front and once again manipulating the system a little bit in an unethical way, then that's the way the kids are going to live. This is what Lawrence Kellman says. Again, everybody says the successful parenting. There's a clip on YouTube. Maybe you can find it. Somebody went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you see, and they asked him, how do I raise good kids? What's the secret to good chinuch? And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, again, it was in Yiddish, but the subtitles are pretty clear. It's a 2-minute video. And all he says to them is, you got to model the behavior. You got to model the behavior. You got to model. Be the person you want your kids to be. You don't want your kids to yell and scream, so talk to them nicely. I ask, as I do every week, I sent my text message Thursday morning to Mr. Mark. I said, I want to talk about modeling tonight. Give me something. So he says, when parents hit their kids, not only are they destroying their kids, they're destroying their grandchildren. Because what do parents learn? What do kids learn when they get hit? They don't learn to hit. Nothing. They hit again. Meaning, it is inexcusable to promote that kind of behavior, because then you're just creating aggression in the next generation. It doesn't help when you do that. You think in the short term it helps. The truth is, it's a Gemara in Sukkah.
Yes. To teach lessons?
There are always teach lessons. So, but you should teach the lessons the way you want them to behave.
It doesn't sound like A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm suggesting. I am not a perfect parent. Far from it. and Erev Shabbos 10 minutes to go, and you got to get everybody, you know, clean the shul. I'm yelling like every other parent, but that doesn't help. You know, what helps is when you talk nicely. If you want people to talk nicely, you talk nicely to them. Again, I am just guilty, but the best way to mechanech your kids is to talk the way you want them to speak from the get-go. It's a Gemara, right? The last Gemara in Sukkah. Miriam Bas Bilga. So she did something wrong. What she did wrong, it's unclear. So it could be. She said, Lucas, Lucas, Admosai ata mekalim amonim sheyisrael v'yata omeid aleim b'shaas atchak. Right? Saying, how long are you going to go against Eretz Yisrael? So when the Chachamim heard about this, they sealed up the ring and blocked up her area where she had the stuff by the Beis HaMikdash. Not only for her, but even for her entire family. Asks, and even for the entire, you know, that section. So the Gemara asks, Bish, Lama, Lamandi, Arma, Mishmar, Tisho, Elavo, I'm sorry to cut, one opinion was that? Ellen, Lamandi, Arma, Miriam, Bas, Bilga, Shemira, Daz, Mishum, Barseh, but of course, right, but if it was just because of Miriam, Bas, Bilga, who went against, was the shtickle of an Apikoros, right? So are we going to punish the father because of the daughter? We should punish the whole family because of what Miriam Bas Bilga said? So what's the Gemara's answer? Amar Abaye in. What does Abaye say? Kida Amri Inchi. Shusa Dianuka Bishuka. O Da'avua. O Da'emeha. The way a child speaks in the market is either that of the father or that of the mother. You don't teach a child how to speak. The child replicates the conversation that he hears in the home. If you want your child not to speak Lashon Hara, it's a very easy solution. Don't speak Lashon Hara. But if you're just telling your kid, Lashon Hara Laman Hey, that doesn't work. It's got to be modeling. Miriam Bas Bilga, her whole family is punished strictly because she spoke in a certain way, because the assumption was if she spoke that particular way, that meant the entire family spoke in that particular way. Another unbelievable example of this. If you look very carefully at the psukim, and you don't even have to look carefully at the psukim because they're highlighted by Shalshelet, we know that Yaakov Avinu, mourned for a long time over Yosef HaTzadik. So everybody knows. Why is it that normally you don't sit Shiva, there's no such thing as something more than Shloshim, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to forget. For a father and mother, Beis Chodesh, but traditionally they gave us the power to forget. But wait a second, what happens? Yaakov Avinu, for 22 years, Vayimayin Lisnachi, he couldn't get a Nechama because of the loss of Yosef. So shouldn't it have come up on Yaakov that maybe Yosef's not gone, because if Yosef was really gone, he would have forgotten him, or at least begun to forget him. But wait a second, Yaakov doesn't forget him. But what's the word that's used here? Vayimayin. Now, what word is used by Yosef at Tzadik when it comes to his battle with the Eitz Hara with Potiphar, with Eishes Potiphar? Vayimayin. This time with Shalshelet, so it's much more noticeable. So you have the Vayimayin, Vayimayin. So I sort of suggested, fascinating idea, I forgot I saw it, that Yaakov maybe had a hunch that Yosef was still alive. But Yaakov was concerned that Yosef gave in to his Yetzer Hara. Vayimayin, he did not want to give up hope that Yosef sinned. But what ultimately, and it was all of his tefillos and davening, what was ultimately the cause that caused Yosef Vayimayin? The what? The image of his father. Not anything his father taught him, per se. But the very model of who his father was, Vayimayin, is the same Vayimayin that caused Yaakov not to what? To want to give in to give in and realize that Yosef died. Because maybe Yosef's still alive, but I hope he doesn't give in to his Yetzer Hara. That's the Vayimayin over there then. And that same Vayimayin caused by the image of his father. It doesn't say a Musar Shmuz that he gave. It doesn't say a Torah lesson that he taught, but the very image of his father. Because when you think about how to be your best, so you think of images of people who model that behavior. As a parent, there's no one Musar Shmuz you're ever going to give a kid that's going to cause him to do anything. They're going to want to do it because you either did it or didn't do it. And if you didn't do it, then they're not going to want to do it. It's the most simplest chinuch idea in the world. If you ever type in parenting 101, it's always going to be one of the top four suggestions. It's highlighted this week by Manoach. Manoach chaps that he can't raise Shimshon as a Nazir if he himself doesn't take it to the next level. So Manoach takes a pause and reflects, and he calls the Chacham, and he says, Chacham. He calls the Malach of Hashem. What am I supposed to do? He says, you know what, Taki, you're right. You got to be a Nazir also. This is what you want to raise? You want to raise a Nazir. It's like, it reminds me of the story, you know, how do you teach kids to daven? Guilty again. We all think like this. You know, your kid's sitting next to you in shul. So you daven for some time, and then you go, no, to your kid. When your kid doesn't have a sitter open, so he opens a sitter. And then you daven more, and your kid's not daven. You go, anu. And then your kid, anu. And then you go back to your sitting, anu. You know what your kid learns how to do? He learns how to tell his kid, no. It's a cycle. If you want to really teach your kid how to daven, bring him to davening and daven. Water on a rock, eventually he'll figure it out. But the way that you behave, if a father comes to davening and checks his cell phone every 10 seconds, your kid will check his cell phone davening, and he'll check his cell phone every 10 seconds. It's a very simple solution to solving almost every single one of your kid's problems. The greatest way to fix anything is to work, you know, it's like Rav Zusha, in a backwards way. You know, Rav Zusha says, I wanted to make the world a better place, so he went around giving Mutzah Shmuzes. Nobody listened. So he went around, so he said, I'll try my country. Again, Mutzah Shmuzes, nothing. Went out to his city, nobody listened. Let me try my family. Went to his city, nobody listened. I tried to make my country a better place, didn't work. I tried to make my state, city, family, nothing. So what did Rav Zusha ultimately do? Worked on himself. And what happened when he himself became better? Family became better. Town became better. The city became better. The state became better. The country, and the whole world became a better place. The best place to start any area of chinuch is to ultimately work on oneself. When the kids see that you are struggling with yourself and you're being real about it and you're working on stuff, that's the greatest model of behavior that one can do. And that's what the Gemara tells us. The words that your children use are that of the father or that of the mother. This is the greatest thing that one could give over to their children, is the idea that what they're doing is growing, and then naturally their kids are going to want to latch on and model that particular behavior. This is the lesson of Manoach that he's giving over to Shimshon. This is the lesson that we have to teach for ourselves every year, you know, and try to give that over to our children. Have an amazing day.
It's a great shot, Yaakov, in this. I gotta remember that for now. I never gave a trust for that part.
Vayumayin. It happens to be. It's striking in the Vayumayin because there's always a struggle. Whenever you see a Shalshelis, it's a real struggle. That's what the Shalshelis is highlighting. So there was a real struggle, Yosef, and the only thing that kept him was that model. I never thought about that, right? Why Yaakov?
Right, I mean, he didn't forget.
If he didn't forget, he should have realized that Yosef was still alive. So he probably did. But too strong. Yeah, I saw that on, you know, again, a quick Google search, you find it.
My parents told me once, he had a father who confided in him once and told me that his father was coming to a baseball game, and like sitting behind them, we were like, these guys who were like very loud and rowdy and drinking a lot, and the father was like saying like, oh, like, look at these guys, just never act away. And the son, who was like younger at the time, he was like under Bar Mitzvah, so it wasn't like at the shock. The father was like, Dad, like, didn't you like act that way in shul? Like when you were
oh my gosh,
because he was part of the Kiddush Kohen, and the dad saw, like, the dad realized, like, I'm never going to Kiddush Kohen.
Wow.